And we want to begin reading again at verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to gather with your people and gather around your word. We pray that we would not take these meetings, these opportunities for granted. We're living in a rapidly changing world. Change that is dragging this nation down farther and farther away from you. And Father, we pray that you would help us to see that our stability is in you. Our foundation is in you. Our hope is in you. And we pray that you would fasten our minds upon your word and help us to cling to it in these days. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, for a few minutes, we want to come back to these verses here in Genesis chapter 49 and consider some things that we didn't have time to get to this morning. That's always the case. There's not enough time to get through verses like this that have so much in them. And we're doing this, looking at this portion of Scripture, as we continue to think about the prophecies of Christmas. Jacob's words here are spoken to his son Judah, but they go beyond Judah. There's an interesting verse in the genealogy of the nation of Israel in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. A great deal of the book of 1 Chronicles, the first 11 chapters or so, are taken up with the genealogy of, actually beginning with Adam, but it's taken up with genealogies, particularly of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their families. There's an interesting verse in that section of Scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. We read in verse 2, "For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler." Of him, of Judah, came the chief ruler. The chief ruler is the ruler that Micah wrote about. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee," out of Judah, "shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." This ruler in Israel that Micah prophesied would come out of Judah, this chief ruler who the writer of Chronicles said would come out of Judah, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jacob's words here are a prophecy of him. And we see it all through these verses. This morning we talked about the fulfillment of Jacob's opening words, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise." And Judah's brethren, the nation of Israel, praised the Lord Jesus on that day when Messiah the Prince presented himself to the nation of Israel. They said, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." But their praise was for Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. It was not praise for the promised Messiah. They rejected Messiah the Prince. And in Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 38, the Lord Jesus said, "Behold," speaking of the nation of Israel, "behold, your house is left unto you desolate." The Romans would come in 70 AD. Israel would be dispersed among the nations. "For I say unto you," the Lord Jesus said, "ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." When the Lord Jesus comes again, when Judah and his brethren, when the nation of Israel shall look on him whom they pierced, they're going to say, "The Lord is my God." And they're going to cry out in that day, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise." Those are words of prophecy concerning the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're words of prophecy concerning his second coming. And then we see in verse 8 that Jacob tells Judah that his hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. We saw this morning in David's own words from Psalm 18 and verse 40, in his prayer to the Lord, he said, "Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies." That's Jacob's words, isn't it? His words concerning Judah that were fulfilled in David. But again, his words go beyond David, to David and to Judah's greater son, the Lord Jesus. God says to the Lord Jesus, "Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies." The place where those words find their ultimate fulfillment is on the cross. On the cross of Calvary, the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ bruised the head of the serpent. He placed his nail-pierced hand in the neck of the serpent. Paul describes it this way in what I think is one of the most wonderful verses in all of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." Jacob's words here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, "Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies," those words find their ultimate fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ of the tribe of Judah, in his death on the cross of Calvary. And because the hand of the Lord Jesus is in the neck of his enemies, because he destroyed him that had the power of death, because he gave his life there, and because he shed his blood, he's able also to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. And deliver them. That's the next verse in Hebrews 2. "Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." My wife and I did something this week, and there's part of me that is ashamed to tell it, but it comes to mind here as Hebrews 2:15. "Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." My wife and I have been married, Lord willing, if we make it till June the 6th next year, 49 years. But in all those 49 years, we never made a will. We never made a will. And I would hear, you know, all the financial experts, "Make a will, make a will, make a will." But I don't want to make a will. I don't want to make a will. I'll do it later. I'm a champion procrastinator. My wife will tell you that. But we went this week and we made a will. Went to see the lawyer. And it's a painless process. If you don't have one, I encourage you tonight. Not as a financial expert, but as this procrastinator who's procrastinated for almost 49 years. Make a will. And it's a pretty easy process. By the time we got back home from the lawyer's office, they had already emailed us the thing. And I printed it out. And there's something that I read. There were several documents. But I read one that just struck me like a hammer. And it was this one. The last will and testament of Charles Garrison Jr. That was like me standing and looking at my gravestone. That's how it struck me. The last will and testament of Charles Garrison Jr. It was a reminder that I'm going to die. But there's this verse, Hebrews 2:15. Deliver them through his death on the cross of Calvary, through his destruction of this one Satan who had the power of death. The Lord Jesus Christ can deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And I got to thinking, what a tragedy, what a terrible thing it would be to read those words, the last will and testament, if I wasn't saved. What a horror to read those words and face the realities looking at them. Those cold black words in bold print. The last will and testament. I'm not subject anymore to the bondage and the fear of death. For the life of the Spirit of God has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. Life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? It's a good time to ask yourself that question when you're looking at your last will and testament. Believest thou this? Yes, I do believe. Yes, I do believe that. And I know that because the Lord Jesus Christ lives, I shall live. I shall live also. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And those words, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, will find their final fulfillment. Their ultimate fulfillment was at the cross of Calvary. Their final fulfillment will come in the last days. We're living in those days, folks. When God is going to make the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ his footstool. When the Lord Jesus, as we read in Psalm 2 and verse 9, is going to break his enemies with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, and put down all rule and all authority and all power in this world that is fighting and in rebellion against him. And the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And so these words of Jacob, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, are a prophecy of what took place on the cross at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're a prophecy of what will take place at his second coming. And it's at his second coming, as we see at the end of verse 8, that Judah's father's children, the children of Israel, shall bow down before Judah's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? I learned something this week from this verse. And when I tell you, you're probably going to think, yeah, well, haven't you seen that? Why haven't you seen that? Why are you so far behind? Well, here's what I learned. Genesis 49 and verse 9 is the first mention of the lion in the Bible. It's the first mention of the lion in the Bible. The first time that the lion is mentioned in the Word of God, it's mentioned in connection with Judah. There's a reason for that. And we'll see it if you'll keep your place here and turn over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not." Notice these words. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Jacob uses the word lion in the Bible for the first time when he addresses his son Judah. And here's the reason why. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, is a person. And we see his identity in verse 6. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." The Lion of the tribe of Judah is the one who John the Baptist saw in John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John the Apostle writes, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" The Lion of the tribe of Judah is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 49 and see Jacob's prophecies in that light. See his prophecies here in verse 9 concerning the Lion of the tribe of Judah. First of all, Jacob says that Judah is a lion's whelp. A whelp is a young one. A young one. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah came into this world as a lion's whelp. The Lord Jesus did not come into this world as a whelp. He came into this world as a lion's whelp. He came into this world as God. As God. God manifest in the flesh. The angel Gabriel told Mary, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And he explained to Mary when she asked him the question, "How can these things be?" Gabriel explained that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God. Those familiar verses that tell us about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're the fulfillment of Jacob's words here in verse 10. Those verses tell us about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and how he came into the world as a lion's whelp. He came into the world as a baby. When he was 8 days old, he was circumcised and presented to the Lord according to the law. When he was 12 years old, he asked his mother and Joseph a question as they were coming back from Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus had been gone for 3 days, and they found him in the temple, and Mary and Joseph were very upset about that. And they asked him, how could you do this? And the Lord asked them a question. But his question was really a statement about the reason that he came into the world. The reason he came into the world as a lion's whelp. And that was that he might be about his father's business, that he might grow. And as we read about his growth, we read that he went down to Nazareth with his parents and was subject unto them. And we read in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He grew up. He grew up. And Jacob's words, Judah is a lion's whelp, tell us about his birth. They tell us about his growth into a man. And then Jacob says of the line of the tribe of Judah, he says something that's very, very blessed to me. He says, from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. I believe those words are related to the words that we saw in verse 8. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. The Lord Jesus grew up to manhood. And he grew up to minister for 3.5 years. He grew up to go to the cross. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Those words, from the prey, my son, thou art gone up, relate back to that. I believe they're a prophecy of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that the lion of the tribe of Judah came into the world as a lion's whelp was so that he could partake of flesh and blood and go to the cross of Calvary, that through death, as we mentioned a moment ago, he might destroy him that had the power of death, the devil. The devil was his prey on the cross. And the fact that Jacob says here of the lion of the tribe of Judah, from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. Those words are a prophecy of victory. The lion of the tribe of Judah is victorious. Those words are a prophecy of the victory of the resurrection. If in this life only, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. Remember the words of the angels as the women came to the tomb. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He's risen from the dead. He's the first fruits of them that slept. And when we put our faith and trust in him, because he lives, we shall live also. And then Jacob says of the line of the tribe of Judah, he stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? Those words are most instructive. The Hebrew word that's translated stoop down, one of its meanings is brought low. Brought low. The lion of the tribe of Judah stooped down. He was brought low. The word couched means to lay down. Those words, I believe, bring into view the heart and the mind of the lion of the tribe of Judah as he went to the cross. We read about it. Paul wrote about it in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jacob said of the lion of the tribe of Judah, he stooped down. He brought himself low. He couched as a lion. He laid down, he laid aside the glories of heaven. He laid down the glory that he had with the Father before the world was, to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, for you and me. For you and me. For those who hate him. For those who are his enemies. For those who deserve to have his hand in our neck for all eternity. The Lord Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But we see something else in Jacob's words. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah couched. He lay down. Lions lay down when they rest. The Lord Jesus rested because the work of redemption was finished. And in those words, he couched. We see something of Philippians 2:9, because the lion of the tribe of Judah humbled himself, because he became obedient unto death, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Not just the knees of Jacob's children, as we see there in verse 8, but every knee. And now the Lord Jesus is couched. God also hath highly exalted him. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. He sat down on the right hand of God. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? Who shall rouse him up? He's exalted to the pinnacle of heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Who shall rouse him up? God the Father, may I say reverently, is going to rouse him up, as it were. One day, very soon, he's going to say, go get your children. Go get your children. And the Lord Jesus is going to get up, and he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can you be comforted by those words tonight? Who shall rouse him up? Here in this verse, Jacob tells us about the lion's whelp. Just think about what he talks about. He tells us about his birth. He tells us about the lion. He tells us about the old lion. And they're all the same person. The Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the lion's whelp. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the old lion. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the one whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He's the old lion. He's the old God who changes not. Aren't you glad that he doesn't change? We're living in a world that is changing so rapidly. It's descending into hell. I don't know any other way to describe it. I was struck this week about what a mess this country's in. The mess. There was a woman elected from Michigan. She says that she's a Palestinian American. I wish I had brought Teddy Roosevelt's quote about hyphenated Americans. Try to remember to bring that sometime and read it to you. You can look it up online. I agree with him. You're an American or you're not an American. We don't need all these hyphenated Americans. this Palestinian American woman was elected to Congress, and she made a speech, and she used a horrible, horrible word to describe Donald Trump. Said it right in front of her daughter. Right, said it right in front of a crowd of people. And I thought to myself, here's this woman elected to Congress, welcomed with open arms. And here's Pastor Mark Harris, denied his seat that he won in Washington. Denied his seat in the House of Representatives. I believe it has a lot to do with the fact that he's a born-again Christian. This is the mess we're in. And folks, when you're in this kind of a state, the most wonderful thing that you can have is the old God who changes not. He changes not. And the world can change, kingdoms can fall, doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Because the Lord is the old God who changes not, His mercy endureth forever. Because the Lord is the old God who changes not, His hand is stretched out still to the lost tonight. And His hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Because the Lord is the old God who changes not, He's still willing. He's still not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the message of Christmas. We find it here in Genesis chapter 49. And the question again tonight is, have you believed it? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you don't, why? Why are you fighting against Him? Why would you rather spend eternity in hell? Because that's where you're going. And the smoke of your torment is going to ascend day and night forever and ever. Why would you choose that over the glories of heaven, purchased for you with the blood of God Himself? Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You again tonight for these verses of Scripture that take us from here in the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, that bring before our minds the line of the tribe of Judah, that bring before our minds the birth of our Savior, that bring before our minds His death on the cross of Calvary, that bring before our minds the old lion, the old God who changes not. And we thank You for that tonight. And we thank You that we can rest our souls on the old lion, the old God, the old book. We can rest our souls for all eternity on it. And no matter what happens in this world, no matter how much worse things get, no matter how much more desperate the times become, we're safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You might speak to the hearts of any here tonight who are lost. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.